I'm just excited to see my Lord and Savior Baphomet represented in such glorious Italian stone. I do hope his eyes gaze upon me and that my allegiance is recognized. I don't know. Notice me, Senpai. Notice me.
Hello, friends. We're back again with officially our last show before year zero, election night 2016, at our live show Tuesday night, Genius Headquarters. Be there. Tuesday. Election. No. This is the last show. It's been a long journey.
As it said in my yearbook, quote, what a long, strange trip it's been.
Should we lock in our official predictions now? Or we save that for our Tuesday night?
Well, I mean,
we should do a prediction now because, I mean, doing a prediction while the results are coming in is sort of cheating.
Yeah, it's pussy shit.
Hillary Clinton, they just called Florida for her. Folks, I'm going out on a limb here.
might win, might do this. All right,
start with Felix because he's
the wizard. Yeah.
The Nassim Tlaib of predictions. I'm a professional. So, Hillary is going to win Florida, but Trump, due to his show business experience, is probably within the margin of error in California. if you uncuck the intellectual class and kill everyone with glasses, Trump in year zero will win the popular vote by 15 points. And congratulations to President Trump, Bill Mitchell, Mark Dice, and
all
Scott
hail
Adams,
the glorious Khmer Orange.
So that's my official prediction. Yeah,
are you still thinking that Utah is going to be McMullen territory?
Fuck no. Okay, you know what? That was just fantastical thinking when people are like, oh, you know what? Mormons actually care a lot about racial discrimination. Yeah. No, they don't. Yeah. They're going to bend
swears.
The fucking knee at the end of the day.
They don't like swears, though.
How did he just get undone? There was a robocall saying he was gay?
Yeah, it was a white nationalist. This is real. A white nationalist, like, autist did robocalls of 300,000 in Utah where he goes, I'm a white nationalist and a farmer. Evan McMullen is gay. He's never had a girlfriend. It's just like literally that. Just an autistic.
He is a mid-40s bachelor.
Yeah,
though.
He's gay. I mean, it takes an autistic Nazi to tell you the truth, but the truth is the truth is the truth.
Sure.
And also, at the end of the day, you know what Mormons are? Mormons are everything that coastal evangelicals wish they were. Coastal evangelicals are heavily in debt. Say they're going to resist the government. They're too fat. Mormons really will. They're great business people. They're sneaky. They are shifty. They are have their tentacles all over the fucking planet and Planet Kolob. They're awful, and they'll vote for Trump.
The protocols of the elders of Zion, Utah.
No, Utah is going for Trump. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Are there going to be any surprises on election night?
I think that Ohio, I think Trump's going to win Ohio. I would say that.
Yep.
It'll be close, but I think he'll do it. And that'll be different because Obama won it both times. And maybe Iowa, too. So those will be sort of – it's not just going to be – I don't think it'll be the 2012 map exactly, which would have been hilarious, frankly, if after all this shit and we elect – you know, you get the orange weirdo and everything. And it's like, oh, my God, this is the end of it. And it's just 2012 map all over again. It's not going to be that. I think that – for one thing, I think Hillary's going to win North Carolina. Trump will win Ohio and Iowa, which will be a little surprising to some people, maybe. And then maybe if this surge in Latino turnout is broad enough, the real surprise would be maybe Hillary winning Arizona. But I don't know if I could say that's going to happen.
Me and Virgil do a special uncucking of the polls. And when we uncuck the polls and say Arizona, uncucking just means accounting for voter repression. So I think Trump's going to edge out in Arizona for that reason. Without voter repression, Hillary would probably win it. I agree with Matt on all this.
I saw a good take today on, voter fraud versus voter suppression.
I hate them. Voter frauds.
It was from our friend Ross Douthat, and he said both voter fraud and voter suppression have not statistically been shown to have thrown or affected an election as of yet. So really, it's not a big deal.
Except for the 2000 election, which was, I mean, you can't. They purged thousands of people illegally from the polls before the Florida election. Jeb Bush did on behalf of his brother, and that's the only reason that there was a recount in Florida.
Remember, so. Jeb Bush is the nice Republican.
And Ross Douthat is the reasonable Republican pundit.
I just think they should get three tips of vote, brother. You know, that's how we used to do it.
And let's not forget the honorable North Carolina GOP that's currently
right. They just got cock blocked by a federal judge that made them reinstate thousands of people who have been thrown off the rolls. So
let's give them this month's Patreon for that.
Yeah, they're in danger. I actually had an exchange with Jeff Jarvis a couple days ago where you know, after that came out
and reports of like 5-hour lines at like one polling station in like heavily African American districts in North Carolina.
Exactly. I tagged Jeff and a bunch of other people, Clay Shirky, the eyeball
Clay
man.
Jerky.
Yeah, more like
Clay Shardy.
Yeah, and he, you know, I just said, it's curious what these guys are thinking since they told everyone to donate to the party. And finally, Jeff did respond. And his response was linking to a GoFundMe for a Baptist church in Mississippi and saying, I donated. Did you repair the Hopewell Baptist Church? No. And incidentally, I'm not saying this to sound like a tryhard. I actually did donate, but whatever. Just I'm asking you to address your donation to the GOP. He just sent me another GoFundMe and he was like, I donated to this good thing. Did you do that?
Well, that's so the thing. You have to donate equal money to all sides of everything to maintain decorum.
We've always... Before us, John Dolan always said that American conservatives are Calvinists. Well, liberals are indulgences, Catholics. So don't upset that one donation.
I think you throw it in the box and everything's okay.
What is Bill Clinton but the new Rodrigo Borgia? Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's 3 days away from, you know, the apocalypse, the moment we've all been waiting for. But I think we're all on the same page. Hillary's going to win this. Maybe it'll be close, maybe it won't, but I feel confident that, you know, she's going to win. I don't think we need to worry about President Trump, knock on wood. But there are still some people who, I don't know, the election hasn't sunk in for them yet, and they don't know who to decide. And I don't blame them, because these are two of the most unpopular major party nominees in the history of this country. But I just want to refer to one article. You may have seen it. It ran in the Associated Press this week with the headline, The Undecideds. They're out there and so very conflicted.
Also dumb.
They're all trapped in the same playground. They're all in one slide on one playground.
Pennsylvania millennial Schroeder says he's been to Shrimp Rally, but has gotten most of his information about the campaign from friends and family who depict the Republican as a dirty, nasty, scathing type of person, and Clinton as a hero who is as straight as an arrow. So he doesn't know who to go for. He doesn't know who to believe. But there's just one person in this article that I do want to talk about. It's just things keep happening in this election that are just gold. I mean, it just keeps producing more gems, and it's almost over. But I do want to acknowledge another person who's undecided and profiled by the AP, New York comedian Dan Nanen.
100% clean.
100% clean. 35-year-old comedian Dan Nanen.
All right, my dad is from India, and my mom is from Japan. I get my sushi from 7-Eleven. I'm like Harold and Kumar. I mean, my mom is so Japanese that when I was born, I came out cordless.
Here's what it says. New York comedian Dan Nanen, too, likes Trump's tough talk about limiting the influx of refugees to combat terrorism.
Hell yeah. Good.
But Nanen, a 35-year-old independent...
Uncuck the age.
...sees Trump as unpredictable, doesn't like Clinton's tax policies, and thinks a vote for a third-party candidate is not like voting. I wish Michael Bloomberg had run, he reminds.
Hell yeah.
He found his constituency. That was always the big question. It is horrible comedians lying about their age.
It is 35-year-old, clean, 100% clean comedian.
Wait, is there something about how his age? He's not really 35.
You should look at the picture.
Look at him.
Right now.
Here's the thing. Like, You might look at a picture at home, you might Google him, and you think 35-year-old Dan Anand, just start laughing at how stupid and ridiculous that is. But, I mean, you have to remember that there is a possibility that he is sort of a reverse Dorian Gray, and there's a portrait in his attic that is of a 35-year-old Dan Anand, and then he is just horribly aging in front of us.
Can you imagine?
Let's just say he's listed at 35.
Can you imagine if, like,
my driver's license, I'm listed at 220 pounds.
Can you imagine if Hillary got Mark Penn to run her primary campaign this year, and like Sanders won and Bloomberg launched his bid? At like the moderate party convention, Dan Ninen, he would be like Obama in 2004.
His speech would launch him to the presidency. Yeah.
He'd be like, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm half Indian and half Japanese. So that means when I get tandoori chicken, it's in seaweed wrap. And everyone would be like, yeah, comedian Dan. And he'd write a book called The Audacity of Dan.
Two other, I mean, like, there are also, I think we've mentioned this before, Dan is connected to Chapo by two various strands of our mythos. The first being, despite 100% clean, not afraid to throw those motherfucking hands at a bitch motherfucker talking shit. And I'm talking, of course, about Bloomberg journalist and correspondent Josh Rogan.
Saudi agent of influence.
The better half of Eli Lake and Josh Rogan.
Yeah, the half of the comedy duo, Rogan and Lake. Dan Ninen snuffed his bitch ass.
Hell
comedy
yeah.
Show.
Dan Ninen was like, this ain't Twitter. So yeah, Dan Ninen was doing, like, killing it at the comedy club in D.C., and Josh Rogan was there, and because Josh Rogan is like a neurotic who can't enjoy anything, especially not comedian Dan, he was like, Dan Ninen is doing terribly. I don't like this.
He's tweeting this, right?
Yeah, he's tweeting it, and he's like, I've seen better comedy when I saw Prince Turkey speak at the Brookings Institute. But anyway, Dan Ninen, like, he sees this because Dan Ninen's like plugged in. He purchased over 400,000 followers, so like he knows what he's doing on Twitter. So he sees this.
Yeah.
He probably just has a column searching his name because he's blocked all of us for even faving anything mentioning him. But he goes up to Rogan and he goes, this ain't Twitter, fuck likes and retweets. You got to answer for your words in these streets.
And he
just
guffs
his ass.
This ain't Twitter, fuck boy. And number two, a fan of the show did this for us. If you currently go to chapotraphouse.com, it will redirect you to danninen.com.
Oh, yeah.
100% clean comedian.
Dan Ninen is also the Javert to Nick Mullins Valjean.
If you need anybody to, be at your event, be it a Diwali party or one of those things where people buy the inflatable sumo suits, you could hit him up at that website and he'll show up and do his amazing 100% clean comedy for your group.
Just look up some of his bits, man.
Yeah, I do want to clarify something. We're not being like racist. Like we are racist in every other episode.
100% racist podcast.
But we're not being racist when we like pretend that these are what Dan's jokes are, because no, they really are. That he's one of his jokes is literally, I'm half Indian and half Japanese, so I get my sushi at 7-Eleven.
Jeez.
Which, Brendan, can you edit in some silence so people can laugh at that one? Give it a standing
some
ovation.
Crickets?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Crickets?
I think it's good.
So I'm driving with my parents one day, and we see these cows grazing in a field. So my dad says, now, there is a word that can have a lot of different meanings. Graze. For example, a cow can graze. And then I say, or you can be grazed by a bullet. And then my mom says, or, it's a kind of a donut.
Oh, man.
That's Lenny Bruce level.
Yeah.
Stuff.
It's anti-comedy.
Yeah, it's anti-comedy.
Well, he's actually like Lenny Bruce because people used to be like, well, Dan's material is great, but lately all he's doing is talking about his trial against Josh Rogan. His assault trial for duffing. Do you think Josh Rogan will get like Saudi shooters on Dan? It'll be like, that's the next proxy awards. Josh Rogan versus Dan Ninen.
Yep.
And Soleimani will be like, I love Dan Ninen. He's the best clean comedian.
Obama shouted out Dan.
Proves he's an Iranian agent. Yeah.
Did he?
No, yeah, there's a video.
Yeah, there's a video of Obama saying, like, Dan Ninen is a great comedian or something.
Yeah, he literally, Obama literally goes, Dan is fucking hilarious.
Okay, can we talk about, you know, last week's episode with Kath Barbadoro, we reached out to the dark side via the tarot.
Yeah.
Can we reach back out to that other side again and talk about spirit cooking?
Yeah, I brought a batch of cookies to this taping.
They're delicious, by the way.
Well, yes, they should be. They contain my essence.
I could tell they're homemade. You can taste the love in them.
Yes.
I mean, spirit cooking means something different. You know, Matt's from Wisconsin, so it means like, you know, essence in the cookies. Where I'm from, spirit cooking means you jack off in a sleeping bag and sleep in it for 14 hours. You drink an entire bottle of NyQuil. So you just marinate for a little over half a day.
Yeah.
I thought I'd been jacking off into a deep dish pizza.
Well, that's, you know, I'm
that's just called deep dish pizza. Oh, am I right?
No!
Holy shit.
I'm actually from clean comedian.
Will is half Irish, half German, so he gets his...
Let me tell you something, my Krautmick friend. I jerked off at every cookie in Hollywood, and she was the best I ever had. We got to talk about that, dude.
Hell yeah.
This election, what I'm saying, like, it's almost over, but I feel like we've saved the best for last.
It's really getting good at the end.
Dude, the latest WikiLeaks shit is this thing about how John Podesta and his brother Tony, who's another mover and shaker and a huge collector of contemporary art, were invited to dinner by the performance artist Marina Abramović. The event was called Spirit Cooking. And I'm reading here from the Guardian. It says, the act of spirit cooking involves Abramović using pig's blood as a way of connecting with the spiritual world to cook up thoughts rather than food. A video of the practice shows her writing various statements with blood, such as, with a sharp knife, cut deeply into your middle finger. Eat the pain.
Holy shit.
Wait a minute, so there wasn't any actual food at this thing?
It's just like kooky modern art celebrity
bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, this is picked up by Alex Jones and Bulwars, PrisonPlanet.com, calling it, quote, one of the most disturbing WikiLeaks revelations to date, as well as stating reports that FBI agents see Hillary Clinton as the Antichrist personified now make a lot more sense. On Twitter, spirit cooking was the top trend Friday morning. Republican author Mark Dice tweeted, I am now accepting apologies from everyone who said I was crazy for writing books about how the establishment are Satanists. Everyone said I was crazy. He's like the guy in the peanut factory in The Simpsons.
First of all, I want to say, I went to a spirit cooking ceremony. It was the creepiest goddamn thing I've ever seen. I can't shake hands with anybody from Serbia. Their hand is covered in human essence.
No, but like this whole spirit cooking ritual is based on something that Aleister Crowley did. And it's just like, it's just kooky, like rich people, weirdo
it's
shit that involves just like
idiots.
Cum and
like
blood.
Coding.
And
yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. It's just, but what I love about this is like the Prison Planet, InfoWars, TCOP people, they literally think Marina Abramović is a witch and like an actual witch. And if you saw this,
goblin vomit.
Yeah. John Podesta, Hillary's like top advisor, innermost of the inner circle is literally going to a seance where they eat cum cookies and commune with the devil.
Yeah, I don't know why they think it's like nefarious and there's so many dark powers, but like, I don't know, it just shows how off the rails you are if you're an InfoWars guy, because like I read this and I go, oh, like rich people are fucking stupid. Like, this is how they spend their time. When they're not eating small plates, which is, you know, 1.8 ounces of food over 5 hours, they're like literally eating cum with the head of like minority arbitrage mortgages for Goldman Sachs. Like, this is good. This is a good use of my time.
Well, that's what happens, though. I mean, what happened when Alex Jones got at Bohemian Grove?
Yes.
He snuck onto the Bohemian Grove grounds. Mm. He got in a camera and he actually recorded the big opening ceremony at Bohemian Grove, which is called the Cremation of Care. And it's when they like burn a paper
owl
thing in front of a big stone owl. And it's, you watch it, and as Felix alluded to earlier, as Nixon would have called it, the faggiest goddamn thing. I mean, Bohemian Grove was founded in the 1880s or something by like San Francisco theater people.
Yeah.
And everyone there, they all like they're hasty pudding guys. They all went to Harvard and Yale where like a good Saturday night was like they'd all put candles in their asses and run around in women's clothing. Like that's what they do. That is the like that's the acculturation into elite society.
Yeah.
So when these guys are like, "Hey, we're going to be cremating our care. We're going to spend 2 weeks without any cares and we will sacrifice them ritually. Oh, what a lark." They have a freaking talent show at the end of it. He didn't record the talent show. It's mostly these guys, they've got done like banging hookers for 2 weeks and they put on muumuus
plate,
and like they
spinning.
Do and they do like, you know, fake Shakespeare. Yeah. And so if you know that, you're like, oh, this is just fruity, you know, rich people stuff. But Alex Jones, he's like, oh my God, they're doing sacrifices to the devil. We proved it.
They smell like sulfur fruits.
They got the sulfur with pouring off of them.
Everyone has gone, like, all the usual suspects have gone all in on this. Fucking Cernovich was just like, now my favorite thing they're doing now is they're parsing the other Podesta emails and looking for like odd turns of phrases.
Oh, that was
like
so good.
Like we'll be so we're getting pizza for lunch today, and they're like, who's ordering pizza for lunch? And they're like going through and parsing all these things. They're like, pizza, child sacrifice, Domino's, BDSM domination, Papa John's, a Chinese boy, Little Caesars, girl. And they're like going through, they're like just looking for all these like they're speaking in code. Yep. About arranging this like occult shot, like child sacrifice. It's like McMartin preschool shit.
Yes.
They're looking for the naked movie star game in the Podesta emails.
Yep.
But of course, Abramovich spoke out to Art News, and she says about all this, "I'm outraged because this is taken completely out of my context. It was just a normal dinner. It was actually just a normal menu, which I call spirit cooking. There was no blood, no anything else. We just call things funny names, that's all." Which is exactly what a fucking witch
yeah,
would say.
Yeah, that sounds a little suspicious. Frankly.
And also, look up a photo of Marina Abramovich
she's
and tell me
witchy.
She doesn't look like a witch.
She looks like she could be a witch.
Yeah,
she looks like she could definitely be the head of a coven or something.
I mean, what is this, though? Well, but just the perfect explanation of that frame of thinking, that mode of thinking. If you read the emails, they're just all horrifying. They're like, you know, they're openly acknowledging that Israel is sliding into a fascist ethno-dictatorship.
And Nina's like, ew.
Yeah, and they're like, ew, I guess we have to
depressing.
Yeah,
no, that was the line, this is depressing.
Just openly admitting that they're taking money from all these awful regimes. Like, we gotta sell them weapons anyway. Just rafts of horrible shit. And these guys are like, huh, what's evil in here? Okay, I got it. John Podesta said no mustard. Mustard means body hair on a boy. It's like, what? Like, it's right out there. The conspiracy is right in front of you. You don't have to.
Boring. That's why Alex Jones is so fucking popular, because he gives you a narrative that is incredibly engaging and dramatic. They're doing child sacrifices in the halls of power instead of a bunch of lanyard dick assholes being like, well, the Saudi ambassador is coming and we better. You know, I mean, that's the banal reality of empire. They don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, but what we know about these people is if they were really doing a child fucking ceremony, they would just be like, oh, I better not fill up. I don't want to have a bunch of pasta in my belly when I'm a fucking kid. Like, they would just say it in the open because they're morons.
Do you remember the Mark Foley text between his teenage pages? They were like, are you horny? Cool.
Hey, that's pretty swell that you're going to let me give you a Hummer. Like, that's what it would be like. They're just fucking freaks. They have no level of tact.
Well,
or,
as I said, if I had known that Hillary and her inner circle were like actually witches, I might have fucking I would have been less hard on her on this show.
Sure.
To be honest, like I wish that were fucking true.
Sure.
But it's just some weird, like some weird conceptual artist rich people thing. Now, my joke about this is Abramovich's famous thing. She had this huge show at MoMA a couple years ago that I actually went to, and like the big installation in it was her for like 6 hours a day for a total of like 40 days, just sat at a table in the middle of like the main atrium of MoMA. And like anyone could just come and like sit across from her and stare at her. And she would just, it was like a staring contest basically. And she would just sit there completely flat, unmoving, as still as possible for like hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she should do a replay of that installation. It was called The Artist is Present.
and just call it Alex is present. It's just her sitting at a table with Alex Jones just peppering her with questions about the occult. Do you know the Bilderbergers? Where are you at the Trilateral Commission? Tell me about these rituals.
I mean, by the way, that's how stupid modern art is. They paid her to sit perfectly still and not get up from a table. I did that all the time when I was a teenager, and I was masturbating, and I was gaming.
I just like in the last days of the election, you know, the Trump train has decided to really push something that normal people can relate to.
Yep. Yeah.
Like people who aren't insane.
Have you? This is disgusting. I mean, look, everyone's looked at it, underage tit here and there, but I never. And this is true. People say this about me all the time. I have never ritualistically sacrificed a child. You know, I have friends that do it. They tell me.
Jeffrey Epstein, big fan. Never got into it.
Great guy, but it is, it's not for me. I see them put on the mask of Moloch. I go, might as well go to Mar-a-Lago. Dude, my father-in-law does not do the sacrifice of Moloch.
At the end, you were kind of already becoming Jared Kushner as Trump, and then you just went to Kushner.
It's important for me to do.
Yeah.
Amplifying voices.
Yeah. Yes.
But I just love the idea that, I think probably at the heights of power in the inner corridors of the deep state, they probably get up to some weird things. But
oh yeah.
But in my head, it's like the scene in Eyes Wide Shut, the ritual and that. In reality, it's probably sort of like that, except there's some weird buffet table with crudité and bad nachos or something.
Well, it's like
and
you
it's
said,
just like, but and they're playing Michael Bublé over the PA.
Like at CFR.
Yeah.
At CFR when you had the Max Boot celebration.
I don't know. I always hated they were oh, it's Hollywood for ugly people. Not just sports for cowards. That's what politics are. And this is they do something like the Miami University 7th Floor Crew, which is disgusting and fleshy and clumsy. All these people who didn't fuck till their junior year of college.
I mean, the spirit cooking thing is basically the gookie cookie game, as we established. And I think that'd be funny if that's what they were doing. They're James Franco's coming tonight.
Yeah, he is.
So, again, Hillary's a witch, and it confirms something we've said now. This would be the third time on the show. Women are demons. Well, I think I'd like to move on. We're talking about the more banal aspects of the deep state and our depraved ruling class. And I want to move on to, I think, a story that dovetails very nicely with that. A major expose that was penned by none other than Brendan Deepayes James, who's sitting in the room right now, who's our producer. What?
Oh, shit.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, thanks for being our guest.
Pleasure.
We want to interview you now about the
long time, first time.
Your amazing piece in Deadspin, which was ostensibly a profile of sociopathic NatSec grifter Robert Caruso. Now, I swear to God, I had no idea who this guy was until about a week ago when people started talking about him. And then you said you were working on this piece. But he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Can you give for us who is Robert Caruso and how did you come to write this article about him?
I just want to say first, the thing that was really exciting about this was that I am now Deadspin buddies with Felix.
Deadspin Eskimo bros.
Exactly.
Welcome to La Familia, buddy.
But who is Robert Caruso? He's a 31-year-old, fast-talking, quote machine, consigliere for sort of the military top brass.
Some guy who's in the know.
Absolutely.
Has access to the documents.
He lives on the diet documents.
I'm not going to try to do
Robert that. Caruso is familiar with all of the relevant documents.
I know this man.
Yeah, so he came on the scene really in 2013, and he just got himself in a lot of the right parties. Quite literally, parties in D.C. where...
Where they fuck with a crudité.
No, definitely not. Way lamer, sort of millennial Vox TNR style types that I think were impressed by his bravado.
That he was a highly charismatic liar.
Yeah. He got himself onto MSNBC. He got himself into Politico. He got himself into the Daily Beast, into Fox News.
He would be on MSNBC and then on the Chiron under his name, it would just be
Defense Department official, and they call him a Defense Department official, and he's on a split screen across from a 4-star general talking about how to solve the Syrian civil war. Okay, so definitely he had reached what I think he was ruthlessly pursuing, which was the status of a NatSec tough guy pundit. And he got there.
I think he had one line, something like, I can't wait until the nation of Syria is broken,
torn apart. And there were lots of other tweets like it. That's
not
one that
I linked
to.
Robert.
It's not a good look. And so, but that's the image he cultivated. And so that's who he is or who he's shaped himself to be. Currently, he's a blogger at Huffington Post and had just published, this is what kind of set it off, is he just published last month a piece on the Council on Foreign Relations about how to best counter Russian PSYOP tactics or whatever in 2016, and is now kind of moving over from the war on terror stuff into the Russian bear.
Cold War 2.0.
Yeah, and he's now claiming to be, he now sort of on his Twitter bio and his media bio said he's a fellow for Hillary Clinton and has fully migrated from what everyone told me he used to be a Rubio guy and definitely pushed himself as a neocon, a hardcore neocon.
That's what he presented himself as.
Yeah.
You dug into this guy's background. Apparently, a lot of people had known about this for a while. But like, where's this guy's real story? Like,
the problem is he sells his credentials as he served in the DOD, he served in the State Department, and he served in CIGAR. Eli Lake quotes him as an official of CIGAR. Business Insider quoted him as an official of the Defense Department, and I got a hold of his couple copies of his resume, and I talked to some people who knew him very well and who had put him up and lived with him and been his roommate, and they said this guy had really not done much more than secretarial and administrative work. And so that was kind of the first clue that something wasn't right. At CIGAR was mostly scheduling things, doing a lot of interference for different officers, but he wasn't the hardened intelligence officer.
He was answering emails.
So I thought another case of a grifter, like Wayne Simmons, who lied about a CIA gig for decades of his life. He was a Fox News analyst, like Elizabeth Obagi, who
she was the like 20-year-old Syria expert,
right,
who
yeah.
instantly started getting quoted and like. And got huge profile almost yep. overnight.
She got cited by John McCain
work yeah. about the moderate rebels in Syria.
Yep. Yeah, all the beloved moderates who lock a lot of white women in cages, and she actually got targeted by Chuck Johnson. Chuck
yep.
Johnson. It was like one of the only good pieces of reporting he's done.
Yep.
And guess who hired her after?
Who?
Senator John McCain.
Oh.
She became a legislative aide. Yeah,
for there policy. You go. I actually forgot that part. Yeah. So at first I thought, okay, this is another case of that. But the more I looked into the guy and the more sources I spoke to, what actually ended up being the story was that he, has been a very, very unpleasant character to almost everyone who has been in his life over the past few years. And he eventually constructed this giant conspiracy that everyone was out to get him. He was losing work and losing credibility and losing friends because there was a as he told me, a Russian or foreign intelligence operation to penetrate the United States election that they were all a part of, as well as a drug ring that they were all of a part of, and that he was exposing it and suffering the consequences.
Brendan, honestly, I mean, the article was amazing. This is your masterpiece. And
thanks.
What it is Caruso really emerges in this article as not just like another one of these fraudulent NatSec assholes who just sort of bullshit their way onto TV or get into a byline or something like that. There's enough of them. But is like beyond that, like an almost Jim Thompson-esque sociopath and sort of just inveterate liar and narcissist.
Brendan did a really amazing job because there's so much with Caruso. Like this guy, people have been noticing this guy since about like 2013 when he was a hard neocon going, this guy's a little off. And there's just so much, that you could just find on the surface level. But Brendan found the exact points of his life that illustrate what a Coen brothers character he is.
The thing I felt it was really burned after reading because
yes.
it was a lower level government worker. He was never a government employee, but he was a contractor than everyone thought. because you remember John Malkovich's character.
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle, yeah. You kind of discover he's just some nobody in the Balkans, you know, branch. Being perceived as a lot more authoritative than he was and thinking he was. And then a non-conspiracy about the Russians becoming involved. Mm-hmm. And just basically a bunch of dumb people believing all their own bullshit. And from the media characters who egged this guy on and really did enable him. I mean, you had one of the three major cable networks putting this guy on TV and saying he was a Defense Department official with the right knowledge to help solve Syria. And yeah, he had the right slick talking to sort of, you know, give that appearance. But why was no one looking into
it? And by the way, the right way to fix Syria would be to escalate the conflict dramatically.
Of course. Which is, and the reason that I wanted to write it to begin with is that his personal life, which otherwise would have been very compelling but not maybe as interesting to me, linked up with his professional life. Mm-hmm. He's writing about Russian infiltration into the election, which is a big theme now.
Which he believes that you're either a conscious or unwitting dupe of.
He told me on the phone that I was being manipulated by unsavory foreign agents to bring him down and therefore help bring down the U.S.
This is ridiculous. What could such a...
Matt, stop.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
That's, we'll edit that.
Nda.
Matt's Manchurian candidate phrase is actually... Game of Thrones recap.
It does make me reach for a gun.
Do you see this card of Ned Stark? Look at his face. Look at this card.
So this is a guy who is obsessed with that, and in his own life, he's, you know, rather baselessly, I would say, accusing people of being spies for Russia because they stopped wanting to live with him and called him out on stalking his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, because he's a fucking psychopath.
And why is he being published in the Council on Foreign Affairs? You know, so that's what made me really want to do the story.
One thing that I really liked about it, and this is something I thought about this last night, because last night...
Lying in bed, thinking of Brendan.
I have actually a mural of Brendan on my ceiling, so it's the last thing I see before I pass out.
Then you rolled over and you told me, hey.
Yeah. You were the little spoon. But I was watching... Mark Dice and Alex Jones, and they were talking about, you know, spirit cooking bullshit, and Alex Jones talks about like a fraudulent Illuminati expert he brought on, and he's like, well, you know, I didn't even know that guy was you know, he told me he saw aliens, and that's when I knew that I needed to stop like having him on the show as an expert, and then, you know, as opposed to like Mark Dice, who just, you know, knows everything. And it made me think a lot about what the article in Caruso and NatSec Media itself, because the NatSec guys are going to look at Caruso and go, oh, what a crank. I can't believe it. But this community, the pillars of this community, they are Russia experts who don't speak Russian, like Michael Weiss. They are the Syria experts who don't speak Arabic and have never been to Syria, like Kyle Orton. In the most meaningful way towards their profession, they're as fraudulent as Caruso.
Absolutely.
But they just don't have they're not interesting enough in their private lives to warrant this level of... people going, there's a little something fucked up. But, you know, they all have this little bit of evil.
Michael Flynn, who made it to the very top.
Right.
And is now, you know, after his intelligence, his military intelligence career is over, is revealing himself to be Jack D. Ripper.
Exactly. I mean, but these guys will let it slip too. Like, do you want to see a fun search? Type in from Michael D. Weiss to Partisan Girl. Partisan Girl, if you know her, she's out of her mind. Yeah. She's like
most of the members of Congress are conservatives.
Yeah.
She's my girlfriend, by the way.
She's actually
the alt-right Gamergate Assadist.
Yeah, she is.
We live together. She's in the other room.
She's lovely. But
she's lovely, lovely lady.
Like, she's nuts.
Yeah.
But Weiss says these things to her, like, during the early years of the conflict.
Yeah.
Come to New York, sweetie, and I'll put you in a pair of handcuffs.
Right.
And it's like, what crime are you arresting?
And that is the same stuff that Caruso would say to her.
Yes.
She actually, an exchange with her got him banned from Bellingcat, which was that like citizen journalist thing.
Right.
And him saying, I can't wait for your country to burn, was deemed unprofessional and irredeemable by that place, and they banned him.
Could we go back for a second? Could you relate the shrimp incident
for us?
We skipped over that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. He's in defeat? Maybe I like this guy. Maybe I have them all wrong.
Everyone makes mistakes.
I just want to actually, before we go there, say that what Felix brought up just now is really the heart of what I tried to say, because this guy, you know, he's a T-shirt, and he's I don't know what's in store for him now, but I think that a lot of stuff came out in this piece that I would hope people take seriously. But what Felix is saying is that it's a culture. And what I said at the end is just that if this guy had just spent a little bit more of his pathologies and channeled it into his career rather than his personal life, we may never have discovered any of this stuff. He might have gone pretty far. If he had saved the death threats for Iranians and Syrians and...
Or just partisan girl.
Or just partisan girl. You know, he may have coasted, you know, quite far. But instead, he got sloppy and he did it the wrong way and he started directing it to his neighbors and his roommates. And that's harder to advance.
Yeah, I mean...
And then that ties into the story you just asked me about. Now, I have to, you know, preface this by saying he denies this. Although in denying it, a lot of people have pointed out that he's not been totally clear about the circumstances of his discharge from the Navy. But he was a yeoman in the Navy. And that is typically an enlistee who is charged with clerical work and, again, secretarial work and, you know, scheduling and info
or,
passing over.
Or top-level Navy SEAL operator... who has punched their commanding officer and is classified as yeoman because it's the only way he can still maintain classified cover.
I got a lot of under siege related DMs and emails after this article came out. Needless to say.
You like that?
Fucking crazy.
That's striking an officer.
Oh.
Come on, that's not striking an officer. Stop striking an officer.
But he was a yeoman, and I, you know, I have a FOIA record of his discharge papers, and they are mostly redacted. But what two sources at least say, who were actually on the ship with him, and one of them I quote on the record in the article, say that at one point he was disciplined, and he's in the galleys, which is where people are sent,
Casey Ryback is the head chef. Gary Busey spit in his gumbo.
Yeah. But then Iranians took over the ship. And they're like, we need someone who can sexually harass them.
So he's in the menial detention.
He's peeling potatoes in the galley.
He's in detention. And he starts beefing with a fellow low-level worker. And eventually their grudge escalates to the point where the sources tell me Caruso, looking to really end this once and for all and come out on top, knowing that this woman had a shellfish allergy, collected a tray of shrimp from the kitchen and dumped it on her head. And I don't know, maybe that she would evaporate.
Have hives.
Or just the Wicked Witch of the West melt. And that was, according to these sources, very shortly before he was discharged from the Navy. And when he told me, I'd asked him about it, and he threatened, he said, never contact me again or I'll seek legal action. So I couldn't ask him about anything else, but I got the shrimp in. He said he received he was discharged under honorable conditions and received an honorable discharge, which some military buffs listening will know are two separate things. They're two separate categories. You can be discharged under honorable...
That's a magazine, not a clip.
Facts are not your feelings. So yeah, that was one of the wildest things people told me, among a lot of other wild things, like
two
threatening
things.
To deport somebody that he didn't like and turn them over to ICE again.
Or just like you quote him and he just says things like, I will end you. I don't care about going to jail. I've gotten away with worse. I will break the law. You do not know who you're dealing with.
Yep.
Just, again, like these megalomaniacal fantasies of being a supervillain.
He signs emails and texts saying...
You know what? This reminds me, another fucking NatSec grifter and parasite, Joshua Faust.
Yep.
He had all of these writings in college where he would be like, he's like, I decided if my genius wasn't going to be appreciated, I would become the supervillain. And like, it's the same psychology with all of these guys. And just to like sort of go off what Felix was saying a little bit earlier, there's this whole ecosystem of these people who largely through charismatic sociopathy or just ambition or just knowing the right people can brand themselves as experts in Syria. Or let's say if Russia invades Crimea, they'll become an expert on Ukraine and Russia overnight, despite not having ever studied this in any academic context, served in the State Department or military in any of these countries, just based on bullshit by selling a line that they know is popular. Mm-hmm. All of these fucking guys, Weiss, Lake, Charles Lister,
Josh Rogan,
all of these fucking guys, like they have no expertise in any of these things, and 90% of what they say is ludicrous.
You know, what was the first big coup of the neocons? It was Team B.
Team B, right, exactly. Right.
Team B, for those of you who don't know, was a subgroup in the intelligence community.
The Reagan Defense Department.
Well, it started with Carter.
It started with Carter. Okay.
But, yeah. No, it started with Ford, actually. But they wanted to work against Kissinger's policy of detente. So they inflated the Soviet threat. These guys, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld.
Daniel Pipes' dad.
Richard Pipes, who they cited as their Russia expert using his book about Russia, which if you read it, is just insanity.
Michael Ledeen, it's
like a psychological portrait of like the Russian mind.
Right.
And it's like all these guys who've never lived in Russia and don't speak the language, who literally said, my expertise is not in the language or culture of Russia. I'm an expert in the Russian mind.
Same story we've always heard. This is the same. The NATSEC community in Washington is and always has been an aquarium exclusively populated by fucking catfish.
And everyone else is either doesn't give a shit because it fits the agenda that they want to be pushed, or they don't fucking know any better because everyone's an idiot who isn't like actively fraudulent.
I think, and again, it was a real pleasure to work with Deadspin. My favorite thing, because Caruso threatened to seek legal action, and his big thing is telling people, I'll put you in jail.
go to jail.
go to jail, sweetie. But my editor, Alex Perrine, tweeted shortly after the article went up, says, it's a shame that Deep Page is going to jail now, but that's just how it is. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my for the guys to bust down the door.
Now, is there any proof that he is not being pursued by foreign agents? I mean, because obviously we all laugh at this, but I think about like the staff at the Starbucks that ban me for quote unquote destroying their toilet.
No, sure.
And I think that there's a more than even chance that they could be working for a foreign power.
Look. Yeah, no, I mean, they're like, I actually had DMs of mine doctored to make it look like I was lying about being terminally ill. So I could, you know, clearly it's just because of like the strong stance I've taken against the Iranian regime.
I believe David French saw more action. At least he was like, actually, his boots were on the ground.
Yeah, he was in the rock.
Yeah.
I believe Spike Jones saw even more action in film Three Kings. He was actually
fucking died.
He saw a lot.
He saw the worst action you can get.
Exactly.
I just want to say, just looping back to the shrimp incident, I just want to say, just as a side note, I think it's fantastic that our sailors and Marines get to eat shrimp. Nothing is too good for them.
No.
Yeah, but it does.
If they were on fucking welfare, I'd be like, "Yo, this is an outrage."
Yeah, but no, they get shrimp, but the welfare people get lobster.
That's true.
And that's a fucking outrage.
Yeah, and they actually the troops cook the lobster for them.
God damn it!
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to put a few hot memes on Facebook about this.
We need to actually keep the shrimp and lobster in the military because it keeps, you know, globalists out of there. It's like a test.
And actually, at one of her spirit cooking dinners, Marina places a live lobster on top of an iPhone, and it's like an update of the Salvador Dali painting.
Well, I'm ready. I'm ready for a Godfather moment where I get back to my place tonight and I wake up the next morning and there's just a pile of shrimp next to me.
Scallops. Just never
raw. Could happen.
Before we close out the show, we got two things that we need to discuss. Okay, this show that you're getting now, this is the show for your weekend. This is the official show before our official election night live show and party at Genius Headquarters on election night. Link in the bio for tickets. You can get tickets at the door if they're not sold out before then. The show's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you're in New York City or somewhere close by, we'd love to have you come out and hang out with us on election night. Okay, that being said, this episode is also sort of a twofer, okay? You're going to get now a little highlight reel of an experiment we did earlier in the week, but you're also in the show information. You're also going to get a link to a YouTube file that is the full, unredacted, unedited audio feed of an experiment that we ran earlier in the week. That experiment was interviewing a fan of the show,
The Free Beacon's Matthew Walther. I'm sure you know who he is. We've been corresponding on Twitter for a few weeks now, starting back when he said the show should be banned. And I invited him on the show. Mistake number one.
Called it.
Yeah.
How do I... God,
some days you eat the trad cat, and some days the trad cat eats you.
Look, okay, the reason we're doing it like this is because in no way could we put this out as a premium episode, like with the idea that like anyone would be paying money to listen to it, because honestly, that would be shameful.
We should pay people to listen to it.
Yeah. You get a rebate. And we're not going to put it out as like the official show or anything like that, because it's not a show. It's just, as you'll listen to it, I don't know, maybe you'll love it.
Fans of the album Metal Machine Music are going to be really interested in this episode.
If you've ever wanted to hear like a drunk guy refusing to clarify his positions and people getting increasingly angrier and yelling over each other, this is for you. Like, look, maybe you grew up in a broken home. This may remind you of something. You may like it.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's what I want to say. This is the disclaimer. Matthew came on the show, right? It's 3-on-1. You're on a phone call with three people who you know don't like you. So I just like props for that's due. It's a hard position for anyone to be in. And I thought for like maybe 20 minutes, we sort of maintained. Mm. I got to give Matthew his props in that regard. That being said, I found him just an incredibly strange man. And talking to him was excruciating.
It was pulling teeth.
So I don't know. Enjoy, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to cut this into, I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to cut it into, you know, maybe a 2-minute flyby.
Quote unquote highlight reel.
Well, like I said, we'll link to the full unedited audio. And, you know, if you can make it through it, you'll get to hear a surprise appearance by Amber Ali Frost.
Oh, yeah. It's the first time Amber's been on the show.
God, is that Amber's music?
No, it's the second time.
Second time.
Yeah, it's no, yeah, totally, I forgot. I have a head injury from cancer, but you know, it's kind of like having Amber come on for that show. It's like I don't know, it's like a cartoon crossover. It's like the Flintstones finally meet the Jetsons, but it's in a PSA about like how you should turn off your light bulbs when you're not home. Just sort of a waste of an appearance. But, you know, she brought it. She was as frustrated as anyone would be.
It was, honestly, you know? It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking bizarre. If you can make it all 40 minutes, like I said, you'll get the treat of hearing Amber Ailey Frost hop on the mic.
Yep.
Nothing was learned except I learned that a hot comedy concept... Having on as guests people we just fuck with on Twitter, probably not such a good
idea. Not great.
So, last plug for our election night show, Tuesday night, doors at 7, show at 8, Genius Headquarters in Gowanus. Please come out. It's going to be a fucking blast. Virgil Texas is going to be there.
We have wine, right?
We're going to have a new president.
We got wine track and beer track.
Yep.
So, everyone is covered.
Yep. And you guys may have seen it if you follow me on the gram. I'm stealing valor.
But final thing before we check over and out, we do have a special guest sitting in on the show. She's been sitting in the whole time. Chapo Spouse House. It's Matt's wife, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, honey.
Hi, this is Mrs. Cushbaum.
That's right, people. She exists.
This is not
a woman that I hired to come in here and talk like this so people would believe me that I have a wife.
I prefer to remain a lady of mystery, but yeah. I am a librarian, and I am real, and I live in Cincinnati with Matt.
So shut up, all you haters. 100% real woman.
What'd you think of the show? Is this your first time, long time?
It's really weird hearing your spouse as a disembodied voice on the radio. It's really weird to be with you guys, but it's wonderful, and I'm so happy for all of you.
Oh, by the way, speaking of your spouse's voice, out of the four of us, does he have the most low T voice? Because we've got effect.
Yeah, Matthew Walther, spoiler alert, says I have the most low T annoying voice of the guys on the show.
But he has the highest T hairline. I would like everyone to know that he has a widow's peak that's very sexy.
It's a sign of high testosterone.
It's a sign of high testosterone.
It is.
And he's from Manitowoc.
You're avoiding
Wisconsin.
The question, by the way.
No, I would say, like most Wisconsinites, I am also a native Wisconsinite. We have a nasal quality to our voices that cannot be denied, and I enjoy it.
One last question, and I remember this, I think, from the first time I met both of you guys years ago.
Yeah.
You guys met on 9/11.
We did.
The actual 9/11. Any of the anniversaries
so
thereafter.
We had previously met and hung out, but that is the day that we began dating. So we have been together for over 15 years.
Dude, holy shit. You guys are the opposite of Adam Sandler in Rain Over Me.
Holy fuck. My freaking wife, she wasn't in the towers. She was in the freaking the cafeteria at the college.
So just, she was good.
That's it until the election, until a new leader is crowned.
See everybody in hell.
We're going to have a new president, everybody. I can't wait. Till then, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We are joined today by Matthew Walther of the Free Beacon. Matthew, what's going on?
If the hill would not come to Muhammad, Muhammad will go to the hill.
You know, guest rules apply. Let's keep it lean, keep it clean, folks, and we'll see how many articles of clothing we're all wearing at the end of this discussion.
You're sketching out a future, but when you talk about banning things, you talk about like moral police, it evokes specters not only of the contemporary world, like Saudi Arabia or the ISIS or something, like quasi-theocracies of the recent past, like 50s Ireland or Franco's Spain.
Wonderful, rightly ordered societies.
There we go.
It's totally serious. Do you guys realize here how recently obscenity laws were enforced in this country? The case about the crush videos where these obese women were stepping on squirrels or whatever. Do you think that those crush videos are okay? Are you okay with, you know, these chubby ladies stepping on cockroaches? So
now we're talking about fucking crush videos when we're actually talking about how, like, fucking Netflix is going to be banned as well. So, like, everything's getting collapsed into one fucking
category.
You know what?
I would ban Netflix.
What is wrong with being gay?
Oh, we get to talk about our dirty bits now. Okay. These parts that we have. Yeah, these parts that we all have, men, women, of... So, to start over. Okay. So, these parts are meant to work. These parts are meant to work a certain way.
Penis and vagina intercourse.
Also put a dick in an asshole.
I mean, it doesn't fit.
Have you ever tried it?
They go together in a certain way, and that's the way that they're meant by nature to go. I just don't know.
But no, we just said that like an erect dick can easily fit in an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, isn't
like,
it?
And it's like,
right. And a fist can go just as easily go right in the face of a 2-month-old, you know, baby. Does that mean that's what it's rightly ordered? Does that mean that's right there?
Well, pushing a baby in the face and having anal sex.
Why are they different? It is true that a lot of liberal priests, who in my opinion should have been burned at the stake, engaged in that.
I'm just trying to get down to what happens to these people.
You know, I don't know. I mean, what will get you guys and your fan base off if I say...
I'm asking you a fucking question. Because it makes no sense to me.
Okay. What does it make sense?
Just anything you're saying, really.
Read some ecclesiastical...
No! Holy shit! You're on the show! No, you didn't.
Okay, forget. Fuck this. All right. Next question. Next question. Right?
People are going to jail.
In your ideal society, abortion would be 100% illegal across the board in any case.
Yep.
Okay, what would happen to the woman who procures an abortion in your ideal society?
I would probably not be inclined to think that the woman should be punished.
Why?
I think that because she's probably been hoodwinked and taken advantage of.
Do you know a single woman who's had an abortion?
No.
Hi.
Well, we got a surprise for you, buddy. But you were saying
what she has in fact done is been an accessory.
I'm Amber. Would I go to jail? Here's what I'm asking. Because an accessory to murder is...
Yes.
Okay, so I would go to jail. You would send me to jail. Okay, that's really what I wanted to know.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
But and the person.
Well, at least you're a man for like a minute, and will like admit it.
And the person who carries out this sacrifice.
Oh, I'm not turning them in.
And the person who performs the sacrifice to Moloch will be executed.
Okay, I'm not turning them in, though. Here's the thing: I'm not turning them in.
This is your moment of defining moral clarity. This is your apotheosis. Congratulations, I don't give a shit. I mean, cry me a river, I don't care. I will pray for you tonight, because that's what you want to needle me on rather than discuss the question of whether or not murdering babies is okay. That's what you'd rather discuss. See, you've already condemned your own position. That is as idiotic as it is satanic.
Hail Satan!
Well, we've already surpassed... I mean, some of us are nude right now. It's gotten to that point. Would it be fair to say
because you have this stupid, hysterical, not serious person come on? Oh, it's going to be a real moment of confrontation. This is like the production values of reality TV. Like, ooh, snap, what's going to go
hysterical.
On there?
I think I'm hysterical. I think you're a little hysterical.
In the spirit of charity, I'm only going to say that I am going to pray for you tonight.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
In fact, actually, this will be a real chapo first. I'll go ahead and say Hail Mary for Amber and for all of you right now.
Let's do it.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, there's one. I actually only have one question.
Can I just say that you have the most annoying and low-T voice out of all of the Chapo contributors?
I mean, he clearly has an incredibly high-T voice. You can get him on annoying, but come on.
Yeah, very annoying.
I mean, I can hear the DTs in your voice.
I know, right?
You have the most fucking alcoholic voice I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah,
you're
seriously,
like
we're gonna—I mean,
character.
We're gonna have to do some editing just to get rid of the fucking
You've never
pauses.
Talked to my father or my grandfather.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, bye, Matt. Bye.
Peace, bitch.
All right. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee.
Shut up.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, wow.